Jesus, we thank you for this day. It is good to be in the house that is yours. You put this body together. This is not a building. This is a people. This is a people who love you, who serve you, a people who are trying to be more like you today than we were yesterday. A people that sit here in this building today that are, some of them are very broken. Some of us are very in pieces. And some of us are just trying to put one foot in front of the other. And so, God, we thank you that you are a God that takes us where we're at, but you don't leave us there. We thank you that you love us so much that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. We pray that this next few minutes that you would help me to say the things that I need to say from 1 Timothy. I pray that you'll keep my mouth quiet where it needs to be quiet and voice where I need to voice. I love you and I praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in a series called Get Over Yourself. And it's funny that I had a friend of mine call this last week, and he watches online, and he's not in this area. And he said his wife, he had been telling him, using that phrase several times after I said it, get over yourself, honey. And he said, thanks a lot for bringing that up. That really was not good. He said, she just kept telling me, get over myself. And that was kind of the thought of last week. And it's a thought of overarching thought of where we're going with this, is that we need to get away from ourselves and kind of say, get back to our mission, and that's being who Christ called us to be. And so today, if I had to put a title on it, this is not my title, but I put it this way, it's giving up what you can't keep to gain what you can't lose. And we're going to talk about this one word, that Jim set up, this word contentment. And it's a word that's hard to get a hold on. We are in a time where we are flooded for a desire for more. Not just stuff, more relationships, more of everything. And there, as Jim so aptly said, that advertisers just are out there trying to vie for you to come and to get things that you don't really need, but to make you think that you need them. If we're not careful, I believe we can begin to buy into this never-ending thought that we have to have this fulfillment that comes from getting something. If it's not stuff, it's relationships. From getting more friends, from getting more vacations, from getting whatever it is. And so we buy into that if we're not very careful. And so I'm going to say here today, if you'll go to the next one, please. God designed us to enjoy people and to use things. That's what he made us for. But we live in a society, we live in a world, in a culture that uses people and enjoys things. And that's the world and view that which a lot of us have worked. As Jesus' people, we ought to be to lead the way in focusing on people and not things. And that's what we here at Impact Christian Church are striving to do. We're striving to make it not about the thing. We're not striving not to make it about facilities. We're striving not to make it about stuff, but about people and keeping it on people as long as we possibly can. And so we have to be very careful and diligent to understand that we want to keep what's important the important thing. And what's important is people. And we talked about last week about that silly story about that London bus line where they were going blowing by the people every day and they were supposed to be picking them up, but they sent out a statement that said, people get in our way, that we can't possibly do what we're supposed to do because of these people. And people are the thing. People are the main reason why the bus line was there, and it's the main reason why the church is here. It's for people, but we get so caught up in the accoutrements of stuff and things and the sidebars of things of life. So we want to take steps towards contentment. And so I want you to lean in today. And I want you to listen with your heart, but I want you to listen with your spirit. And I want you to listen to Apostle Paul as he schools this younger Timothy. And so if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. We're going to have them up here too. And they'll be also on your Facebook app. You can go there and look also. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 says this: "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we can be content. We will be content with that." That's our whole lesson today. Paul says that you can only find fulfillment in something else in a different way. He says godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's run into that just for a second. That's something to try for, godliness with contentment. Here's what we need to think of. Money can't buy it. Money cannot buy contentment. And poverty can't provide it. That's why it's so elusive. That's why contentment is so elusive, because when we get something, we get it and we go, that's it. That's all there is. Contentment is not laziness. It is not apathy. It is not eliminate the wise thoughts that you're supposed to have. The dictionary defines contentment as this, and I love this. Usually I don't care for what the dictionary says, but I love this section, what it says about contentment. The dictionary says the state of being is a mentally or emotionally satisfied with things as they are. Let me say it again. The state of being mentally or emotionally satisfied with the things as they are. No matter what circumstances you find yourself in, Paul says you should find yourself in contentment. You should be able to say, this is just a moment, and I can get through this with God. The story is told about a pilot who always looked down as he drove his route every day. He was in high up in the air. It was in this valley in Appalachia. And the plane passed overhead. His co-pilot asked him one day, he says, "Why do you always look down at that one spot over there? It's interesting. What's so interesting about that spot that you seem to look at every time we fly over it?" And the pilot says this: "Do you see that stream down there?" And he said, "Well, yeah, I see it." He said, "When I was a kid, I used to sit down there and I would on a log and I would fish every day. And as a plane would go over me, I would look up and say, someday I want to be flying up there. And now I look down and I wish I was fishing. I wish I was fishing." That's kind of the situation we find ourselves in. Because we get what we think we need, and it's not usually what we really, really need. God wants us to move towards contentment. He wants us to move towards that thing that says we are enough. And so I want to look at 1 Timothy, these three verses that I read for you this morning, and I want to talk about what Paul is telling Timothy to grab onto. Because Timothy is in this culture, in this culture that is having a hard time with contentment and finding this time where they can say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And I think a lot of you, if you were to have a real heart check this morning, I think you would say it's not well with your soul. I would think you're yearning for something else. You're yearning for more of a relationship. You're yearning for a relationship. You're yearning for kids. You're yearning for grandkids. You're yearning for something that you don't have, and it's causing discontent in your life. And God is calling you and calling me today to say, hey, listen, find contentment no matter where you are. because it's so very worth it. The first thing I want to share with you today is, and it should show up on the screen, is we find in verse 6, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So here's the first thing that Timothy is being taught by Brother Paul, to trust God completely. Now, most of us would say, yeah, I trust God. I trust him. He's taking care of business pretty much. Yeah, yeah. But to trust him completely, I'm not sure. Is that even possible? See, unless we place our eyes on all the different prize, if we place it on something that we have to obtain, we get discomboozled. And if you believe that God loves you and you believe that God will take care of you, then contentment in this world comes much easier for us. It comes so much handily to our being. Hebrews says this, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, a little companion verse, be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, because the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. And see, I think the part that we get messed up with as people of Jesus is this. We forget that he won't leave us or forsake us. But we get kind of in a state of where we say, he's not doing what I want him to do, so I'm going to make it happen. And so when we try to make it happen, this discontent comes because we drive after it, we strive after it, and we move towards it. And it's not where God wants us to go, because we forget, he says, I will never leave you. I won't forsake you. I am on the job for whatever it is that is concerning you this day. What's concerning you this day? What is it that's got you in a real big bunch? What is it? Finances? Is it your health? Is it a relationship? I don't know, but I know a lot of you walked in here today with major, major discontent. World Report, I don't put a lot of stock in them, but I happen to see this. They did a survey of 1,000 families last year. And they said, what would it take to bring contentment to your life? If your wage is a certain number, what is it? And so they asked 1,000 different families. They asked people who made $25,000 a year, what would it take for you to find some contentment or to feel peace about your income, about God is taking care of you, or about that things are going to be okay? And so they asked people that made $25,000 a year, what would it take? And you know what their answer was? $55,000. $55,000. That was across the board. And they asked people who made $100,000. You know what they said? $200,000. And people who made $200,000, you know what they said? $500,000. And so double is the figure that brings peace. Got it? Nah. I don't think that's correct. I think it's just a number. Peace rests in your hope and who your hope is in. It is not in how much you make. It is not meant on the things that go right or wrong in your life. It is meant on the one who you base your life on. And if you're basing your life on your circumstances, that's why you are having trouble sleeping. That's why you're having stress and anxiety and fear and all the things that we're experiencing, because we are not content with I will never leave you nor forsake you with that guy, because we believe that he's left us. We believe he hasn't really showed up. We believe that he's not really there. We believe that he's there, but he's not really going to do that for me. That he's not going to speak into my life and the things that I really need him to do. John Rockefeller, years ago, was asked a question. He was a billionaire years and years and years ago. How much money does it take for a person to be happy? And Rockefeller thought for a second. He said, just a little bit more. just a little bit more. You can find rich people in Scripture, and you can find poor people in Scripture who love God and who are loved by God and held up as examples by God. The Bible gives us some reasons why we should be content with whatever our financial situation is. And I'm not just talking about financial today, so don't just go there. I'm talking about your relationships. I'm talking about all the things in your life that you care about. I want you to know God cares about those things too. He cares about them so much. Proverbs says this in 30, verse 8 and 9. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. What a prayer. What a prayer. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, so dishonor the name of our Lord, our God. Isn't that something? Isn't that such a true proverb? It really strikes the heart of what we're talking about here today. God wants us to move towards contentment, find contentment no matter what your circumstances are right now. And so that's the first thing that Paul tells Timothy. The second thing that Paul tells Timothy is he says, remember that life is temporary. Remember that life is temporary. It is not going to go on forever. I was reminded of that this week as I sat in a hospital with my heart jumping all over the place. And I had to go get it shocked back into rhythm. I'm like, I was thinking about what I was going to be doing at camp. I was thinking about what I was going to be doing at church. And you know what? That all came to a screeching, flipping halt. Right there on that table as I went under. And I'm wondering, is it going to go back in rhythm? Because if it didn't, there was going to be some bad cases going on because my valve was not doing what it was supposed to do. And so that valve has been injured a little bit because it was like what it was. But everything that I was thinking about, it became so unimportant. Everything became about that right there. And so you found that out too, right? It is not about all the things, the accoutrements that we find ourselves striving for, grabbing for, going for, yearning for, learning for every day. But it is about finding that contentment and that life is so short. It is but a wisp. It is but a wisp. And if you're treating it like you've got so much time, you better stop because life is temporary. Life is fragile. But life must be lived with eternity in mind. If you're not living with eternity in mind, you are missing the whole point of what it means to be a Jesus follower. Because Jesus followers are meant to think about not just here, not the temporal, but about eternity. Because eternity matters. Whether you're thinking about it or not, whether you give a care about it or not, whether you've ever even thought about it or not, because you're going to think about it and you're going to be in it someday. And it's important, it's an imperative, church, that you grab on to that today. Paul says to Timothy in verse 6 and 7, he says, I think, for we brought nothing into the world. No kidding. And we can take nothing out. Job said, naked I came into this world and naked I'll leave. That's all we go out with is what we came in with. We don't come in with all the other stuff that we're so busy trying to. It's all about all these other things, and we forget that life is about eternity. It's about what's going to happen after we die. It is not just about making a buck. It is not just about providing for your family. It is not just about saving for retirement. It is not those things. It is about eternity. It is about where we're going to spend and what we're sending ahead in eternity. Luke 12:15 says this, "Watch out, Jeff. Be on your guard, Jeff, against all kinds of greed, because life does not consist in abundance of stuff. It doesn't consist in what you have. Nobody takes anything with them to the next life. Nobody takes anything with them." We can find only contentment when we understand that possessions can be wiped out in a second, that a flood can happen, that a tornado can come, that a fire can happen, that a death can happen. And then those things that we thought were important, we find out that our meaning is not in those things. Rush Limbaugh, a deceased conservative talk show host, always used to refer to himself as a talent on loan from God. And you hear that, and it kind of reeks of somebody who needs to get over themselves, okay? And I'm not saying anything about Rush. I'm just saying, it, you know, okay, you got talent. But the phrase is so good, and it is so right, and it is so precise. The phrase is an apt description of every one of us. We have talent. What we have has been given to us from God, and it has been given to us to use while we are here. We have possessions on loan from God. They are ours to use. We live our life in itself as a loan from God. You only exist because God wants you to exist. Wrap your little peanut of a mind around that. I know you don't like hearing this. So whatever you have, God allowed it to happen. Listen to me. Whatever you have, God allowed it to happen. It came from God. And Paul points out, you brought nothing in, bucko. You brought nothing in, and you're taking nothing out. Timothy, Jeff, Impact Church. The Bible says every good and perfect gift is from where? It's from God. And we have got to get back to that. We've got to get back to everything we have and thanking Him for it and stop taking it for granted. Matthew says this in Matthew 6:19. I think I said it. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So while you can't take it with it, you can send it ahead. You can send it ahead. And when you trust God completely, when you give to Him of your time and your talent and your treasure, you're sending it ahead. It is so important to understand that's why God asked you to do it. He didn't ask you to do it because He wants you to stress over giving money to Him, of giving your time to Him, of giving your treasure and your talents to Him. He gave it to you because He wants you to shine His glory to somebody else, to show someone else. And I don't know how long you're going to have it on loan from God. And I don't know how long you're on this earth for, because your thankfulness and your attitude toward what you have down here plays a role in what you're going to have when you reach heaven. When you reach paradise, you're going to send things ahead, whether you realize that or not, whether you care about that or not, that's what's going to happen. There's nothing wrong with buying cars. There's nothing wrong with buying houses. There's nothing wrong with doing any of those things that we're doing. Those are all necessary things. But here's the point. The problem is not consumption. The problem is compulsive consumption, buying stuff that you don't need, having things where you don't help, and you're so tied up in yourself that you can't move and help anybody else. That's the problem. It is nothing wrong with having lots of things. It is wrong if those things stop you from helping the people God puts in your stead, in your eyes, and you look at them and go, oh, well, you need a fish? Well, here's a stone. That's kind of what we're saying sometimes, because we're going, I got nothing. I ain't got nothing. Really? I think you do. I think we do. I never thought I would quote Jim Carrey in a sermon. But Jim Carrey says this: I wish everyone could become rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. Pretty smart. Pretty smart. Trust God completely. Remember, this life is temporary. And move towards contentment, which leads us to the last one. And here it is. Be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for what you have. If you've got food and clothes, be grateful for what you have. True godliness means that a person trusts God to provide everything that they have, and they learn to be content with what they have, and He gives them everything that they have, and then they thank Him for the things they have, not for what they don't have. Because if you're always asking, I need this, I need this, God, I need this, I need this, He gets just like you as a parent, where your kid is always sticking their hand out for another 20. I need another 20, Mom. I need another 20, Dad. Grandma, Grandpa, I need $100. I need this. And that pretty soon you go, but God sees He's perfect. He's perfect. And He wants us to thank Him for all the things that are going on in our life. Man, how hard is it to be thankful when you've had a hard week? How hard is it to be thankful when you've had a hard day? How thankful is it to be when you're sitting here and you're mourning somebody and a loss in your life, somebody that you miss so much? How do you find contentment? How do you say, God, thank you for the situation that I'm in? You start with the small things and you move towards the big things. You start with the food and the clothes. You start with the air that you breathe, and you move on. Paul is encouraging early Christians. He's saying, most of you who have very little, find contentment where you're at. They were slaves, most of them. Find contentment being a slave. What? How do I find contentment doing that? Paul says in verse 8, he says, but if we have food and clothing, be content with that. Be content with that. Folks, we've got to do a better job of finding gratitude, of being thankful. It doesn't just happen at Thanksgiving. It can't just happen once a week. It needs to happen every day. Paul knows about contentment. He knows what it means. He had a lot. And we find him in Philippians 4:12. He says this in 13. If I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, and I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether it's well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then he says that stupid verse right there in verse 13. A stupid, horrible verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we've heard that 1,000 times, and we go, not me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul was in the middle of it. And he was talking to a bunch of people that were in the middle of it. And some of you today, you're in the middle of it. And it's hard. And you're going through some tough times. And I get where you're at. I'm not minimizing anybody's situation in here. There's some tough things going on in this room. There's some harsh, hard things going on in this room. As I look around and I look at some of your faces, I look and I go, oh my gosh, there's a lot. There's a lot. But like Paul, I need to be able to say, I can do all things. Where does my strength come? Not from me. From Christ who strengthens me. The secret to being content, whether you have a lot or little, is to put your hope in the one who can help you regardless of your circumstances. He's the one who strengthens you. He's the one who can do all things. You can't do anything through you. You may not have realized this, but everyone in here have, I think, memorized at least one verse about contentment. And you're going to say, well, what verse is that, Jeff? You know what verse it is? Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. May we get to that point. May we get to that place where the Lord our shepherd is more important than the things that we want. Let's pray as the band's going to come.